Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We've got a very cool guest that I was recently a guest on his podcast called the Global Seducer Quickie Podcast. And that is Sebastian Harris. He's a masterful dating coach and really knows a ton about the subject. And I'm really excited to have him on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. And I know we joked about this offline, but I think it would be interesting for the listeners. No, your podcast is called the Global Seducer Quickie Podcast. And I was asking, what's the quickie from? Is that like a sexual innuendo?
Exactly. Like so many people have asked me that. And I thought to myself when I started the podcast, hey, I want to do like 10-minute episodes, which is compared to other podcasts who do like longer episodes, a quickie. And then I thought to myself, okay, let's call it Global Seducer Quickie Podcast. Maybe it was stupid. Maybe it was genius. I don't know. One of those two.
Well, it definitely stands out. So I think it was genius.
It just makes the name so long, like Global Seducer Quickie Podcast. That's why. That's the only problem.
Well, I just remember when I first heard about it, I was like, wow, that's an interesting name. Because, you know, obviously I kind of figured it might be a sexual innuendo because I was like, quickie is probably because the episodes are short. But I think that's
exactly, but I also meant it in a sexual way. So it's like, it's both basically.
Totally. So tell us your story. How'd you get into all this crazy stuff? And, you know, take us through it.
Let's start with the moment I was born. And that's actually no joke. I was born with a congenital heart defect. And as a baby and also as a teenager, I had heart surgeries. So while other teenagers were exploring slowly their sexuality and talking to girls, I was recovering from surgeries. And my teenage years were basically full of self-hate, self-doubt, because I have a lot of scars. I always thought I would never be worthy of having a beautiful woman, of having a girlfriend. I basically looked in the mirror and I always saw a monster. I was really full of self-hate. I mean, if you imagine the most depressed and the most self-hating person in the world, that was me. And then through my teenage years, I was always, because of that, I was always shy. For example, I never wanted to go out to the lake with my friends when they said, hey, come on, it's summer, go to the lake, because I was way too afraid to show my scars. I was so in my, like these fears were so in my head where I thought if a woman would see me, she would look at me and think, oh God, he's disgusting. Look at him. Like all these fears were in my mind. And
sorry to cut you off. I had such a similar sort of situation in my teenage years because I was really self-conscious about my body shape. I was like a little bit chubby, but I thought I was totally fat. And I wouldn't go to the beach. I wouldn't go to do anything where I had to take my shirt off. So yeah, man, growing up like that can be totally brutal.
I mean, yeah, we always think that, I think it's also because of the media, the advertising industry, we always think we have to be perfect to deserve love or right. To deserve to be loved or to be attractive, which is of course not right if you've experienced this. Let's say if you've got out of it at some point, if you said, okay, I want to change something with my life. That's just a very quick note here for your listeners. In case you have something that you're struggling with, no matter if it's scars, if it's your weight, whatever it might be, just because you have something that doesn't make you perfect or that makes you imperfect in your eyes, doesn't mean that you're not worthy of love. What I found out later was that, I mean, later on then when I started seducing women, when I started attracting more and more beautiful women, that my scars didn't matter as long as I didn't make them matter.
Right.
As long as these things are no big deal for you, then it's no big deal for a woman. When you are confident about it, then it's okay. I mean, nowadays, for example, when I'm in bed with a girl and she asks me, hey, what's that? I joke around. I say something like, yeah, you know, I survived World War II. It was really hard. And I basically make fun of it like this. And I kid you not, I never had any girl who said it was weird, who said it was unattractive. A lot of women actually said it's attractive because it shows that I lived my life, that I went through things, that I came out stronger the other way, which actually was a benefit for me. And if I could turn back time and would talk to my teenage self, I would say, listen, dude, listen to me. It's right. No big deal as long as you don't make a big deal out of it. I missed out on so many amazing things in my teenage years just because of these fears in my mind that turned out to be just monsters in my head, basically. It was not based on reality. And so to go back to my story, I was then in my teenage years. Then I had one girlfriend. Basically, she was the one who seduced me because back then I was so shy. I never thought in a million years that she was into me. But for some reason, she was into me. And then I had my first relationship, which at some point then ended. And then I decided, okay, now I'm single. Now I'm lonely. I'm miserable. And I still remember I was crying on the floor of my apartment back then, my very first apartment. I think I was about 20, 19, something like that, if I remember correctly. 19, 20, 21, something like that. And I was always watching these pickup videos on YouTube. And back then I was watching Sasha Daygame. And yeah, I then decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to book an infield coaching with him, which I then did. And then this again, this in some sense kickstarted everything. Then I continued to go out like a maniac. I was just approaching, I think, 10 girls every day for 1 year. I was going out crazy, crazy, crazy. And just until I got it down, until I got really good with it, until I basically overcame all my fears, all my anxieties, everything. And that's why I also sometimes cringe whenever somebody says, yeah, you just have to use this magic line and all your fears are gone in a second. It's a journey. It's a process. And I always want to motivate people by saying, hey, I've been, can you say in the gutter? I don't know. Does it make any sense? I've been really, really down, basically. I've had depression. I have had self-hate. I had all these things. And if I can do it, then you can do it too.
So it was what I'm hearing, and this is, you know, a very common thing amongst guys that I know that are good with women, is it took a year of solid approaching 10 a day, right? To really get to that point where you got over all of your bullshit, right?
I mean, yes, that definitely, of course, nowadays I can say the best thing that I could have done back then was to book a coaching sooner, because then the coach can tell you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. Back then for me, that was Sasha, who pointed these things out. At first I tried it alone, and then of course it was a lot of trial and error, but even after that I continued. And that's why it's also so important for every coaching client, no matter if it's a client of yours or a client of mine, that once the coaching is finished, it doesn't mean that you can then go back on your couch and eat potato chips. You have to continue to do the work, basically. It's, I always like to compare getting good with women with building muscles in the gym. You can't just go once, lift heavy weights, and then go like, yay, I'm going to become a bodybuilder. It takes time. It takes time. It takes dedication. And I believe in consistency. I think it's way more important. For example, if you say, I'm going to approach 3 women every day for, let's say, a couple of months, then if you would say, okay, today I approach 30 women, and then I make a 3-month break, and then I approach again 30 women.
Yeah, that totally doesn't work.
It's about
you're just letting that anxiety build up again. Exactly. You're not creating a habit. And I know so many guys, myself included, like I couldn't bring myself to do like an approach until I went to my first boot camp. And this is way back in 2007 with Pickup 101, which is the company that's no longer around. And then even after the boot camp, I probably did, you know, 30, 50 approaches during the boot camp. I came back to San Diego and I couldn't do it because I wasn't in that environment. And it wasn't until I went and took another boot camp, and then I actually got into like a, you know, a longer term sort of group that held me accountable. That's when I was finally able to make it a habit. And, you know, so for people listening to this, like if you're just trying to do it and you're not doing it, like don't think that time is going to change that. You need to fucking do something, you know, invest in yourself. So it's, and that's like the, you know, I like your bodybuilding analogy. I like to say day game is the squats or the deadlift of weightlifting, right? Like if you're not doing squats or deadlifts, like you might kind of look okay, but you're probably not in very good, strong shape. Whereas if you're doing those things, then for sure you are. So.
Yeah, and it's also, I think especially a lot of people who are starting out on this journey. They look, for example, at somebody like you or somebody like me, and they think, oh, they've all figured it out. Oh, they're so successful with women. But what they don't see is all the hours of work, all the self-doubt, all the self-hate, all like the whole journey basically that led us to this point. It's not that I at some point just said like, hey, I'm going to become a dating coach. Yep, I'm confident and can approach women. It took me a while. I mean, I still remember the first couple of approaches I did, believe it or not, but I was too afraid to ask somebody for the time. Even if it was just some old guy or some older woman, I could not hold eye contact. It was impossible for me. I was shaking while asking somebody for the time or for the direction. That's how I started.
Wow. So yeah, you had a lot of anxiety going. I
trying
to remember back to my first approach, and yeah, I think it was at the boot camp, and they had me go up and tell a girl she's cute. And the second I said it, I ran away. I was like, oh, cute. And before cute came out of my mouth, I was already running. And I saw her reaction. She was like totally, you know, flattered, and she kind of lit up like a Christmas tree, which is, what you're looking to get. But I was like out of there too fast.
She was probably thinking, come back, please.
Yeah, exactly. Well, why are you running away for? So how did you become a dating coach? What was kind of the process once you got past your anxiety, you did all those approaches? What then made you, kind of take it up as a business?
There was actually a funny story by trial and error. I mean, it all started when, if I remember it correctly, when Sasha Daygame did some talks in Germany, in Stuttgart back then. And he said like, hey, can I crash at your couch? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was just sleeping at my place. Back then I was living in my German hometown, which is close to Stuttgart. And he was then staying with me. And I was then at this talk, if I remember it correctly, there was some kind of lair, if you know that.
Sure.
Named like back then there was this lair in Stuttgart, and I was telling my story about how I did the coaching with him. And then after the talk, some people came to me and asked me for advice if I can do coaching, and I was like, okay. And that's basically how it started. First I had like one or two guys from this group in Germany. Then at a later point in time, I still didn't really work as a coach, but then Sasha was asking me to become an assistant coach. That was back then for the Euro Tour from the Natural Lifestyles, James Marshall.
Yeah.
And I was then there for a couple of days with him. And that's how I got the practice. And that's actually, back then he gave me the Bluetooth microphones that I still have. So in case, Sasha, you're listening to this, I still have your microphones.
I have Bluetooth microphones from Sasha as well. I know they're the same ones. he's a good buddy of mine. He's been on this podcast. So
maybe he just he I don't feel special anymore. He gives everyone the microphones. No, I got them for free back then. I got them for free.
Are they I still even haven't used them. Are they like the cylinder silver ones?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it can be. They're really good for listening for the info coaching clients. It's what I always use.
I need to actually use them. I bought them from him. That had to be, I remember, it was in 2015, and I have like other ones, but I just never use them, and I still fucking have them. I saw them like 2 days ago. So anyways.
Maybe he has some microphone company that we don't know of. A secret business idea. Gives everyone microphones. But anyway.
That's Sasha. But
I was then on that, on that tour. And it was really fun coaching these guys. And I really enjoyed that. And then when I came back, then I had this idea for the website. And then it developed at some point into the podcast, and then I got more and more clients, and that's basically, that's how it happened.
Awesome. Interesting. I didn't know we had so many friends in common. James, Liam, Alex, all those TNL guys actually moved to Kiev on my recommendation. So I've known those guys.
I mean, I don't have any contact with the Natural Lifestyles guys anymore. It was just Sasha. Uh-huh. However, I was once, it's also a funny story, with Alex. I met him the first time when I had a job for a couple of months in Austria. That was years ago before he actually started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I met him through that. It was years ago. And when I then saw him on the Natural Lifestyle team, I was like, oh, interesting. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah. Funny. Small world is a small world in this business, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
So your podcast is really cool because I think it's kind of the only one out there that has the format you do with the short episodes. What kind of inspired you to start podcasting and to, put out content in that format?
At some point, I was a little bit struggling with the website because after one Google update, I was like, maybe not working anymore that well. And blogging was a little bit going down also, in at least for me, in the reach. And I was always enjoying talking. And then I watched some YouTube video. It's actually stupid when I now think about it, but I watched a YouTube video from Gary Vee, and he just said, podcasting is the future. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start a podcast. That's basically how it happened. And then in the beginning, because back then I wasn't really that confident with, let's say, talking long-term English, because I'm not a native speaker. And the first episodes, if you listen to them, it's basically just, but again, it's the same with dating. Like, it's a skill that you develop. And then I developed that skill. I got better and better. And yeah, I think nowadays they are pretty good. And then I had this idea with the short episodes, basically, where I thought, okay, I want to make a podcast, just me rambling on. And I want to make these short-term episodes. And yeah, that's how it started.
It's great because the science out there when it comes to millennials say that we prefer content either in really short, small increments, like a podcast, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or we like to binge watch shit for like seasons and hours and hours and hours. So this, the medium length episodes, maybe the ones that I do, the 45 minute to an hour, maybe, I don't know, maybe people are, that's too much for them. But I definitely know the shorter ones are, I think just from a psychological perspective, it's like, I can pop this in, listen to it while I'm warming up in a workout or in the car or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people told me that they listen to it on the way to work, for example.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you do interviews, of course, then it should be longer. If you have a 10 minute interview, it's like, hey, how are you? I'm fine. Okay, bye. It's exactly. Like, that's really exciting.
Totally. So tell me more about you talk a lot about self-love. And what would you say self-love has to do with success with women?
That's a huge thing. And that's also something where a lot of guys are always like, what, you're telling me about my emotions now? I have to connect with my emotions. I don't want to do that. Like, they always think it's so unmanly and you have to be. Yeah, I think that's also because of this whole idea of the manosphere. You have to be stoic and the alpha and never show your emotions. And then you have all these guys running around with unresolved trauma that are doing all kinds of stuff in their life that's not really good for them. And I know what I'm talking about. When it comes to self-love, that was for me a big breakthrough because I came from this place of trauma, from my heart surgeries, from the self-hate, from the depression, I went through this phase that a lot of guys are going through, which is basically, at first you feel like a complete loser when you're starting out, and then at some point your ego takes over. And then you can't really differentiate between, do I want to do it because I really want to do it? And do I want to be with this woman because I enjoy my time with her? Or does it come from an ego place? For a typical example would be when you get along with a woman, great. You have an amazing connection. You have amazing sex. Everything is great. And then you see a girl where you think your friends might consider her hotter. That your friends might be jealous or something and call you, oh, you're the man. That you then leave the woman who's good for you to chase a girl who's basically not good for you just because your ego needs the validation.
Right.
And that's often the result when people don't love themselves. And I also had that in the past, where I was always the next hot girl, the next hot girl. And I think don't get me wrong, sleeping with beautiful women, dating beautiful women is amazing. But you should find a balance at some point to say, okay, what do I really want? And I see a lot of guys who are starting out with that falling into this trap that they want to live some kind of lifestyle just because they think other people will look up to them. For example, maybe a guy really wants a relationship, but then pickup coach A or B or C tells him, yeah, you need to have multiple women. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have multiple women and then I feel better. Or maybe also the other way around. And I think it's important to develop self-love for this reason, to overcome your trauma, to say, okay, I'm no longer doing this because I'm coming from a place of trauma, because I'm coming from a place of I need to fill some hole, no pun intended. I mean, like a hole in your heart. That's a good way of saying it. But I do it because I really enjoy it. That's the first point, that you really connect with women because you want to connect with them. And the second point is, and I'm very spiritual, I believe that you attract who you are. I experience it a lot of times with me. I mean, when I was very insecure, no confidence, I attracted the female equivalent. And now that I love myself, that I'm very confident, I attract the female equivalent. It's right. Just we vibrate on a certain frequency and we attract these people into our life. So when you come from a place of trauma, then you only attract these people. When you don't love yourself, you only attract women who don't love themselves and who don't love men. And that's also something that I see a lot in the manosphere when guys go like, yeah, you know, all women are terrible gold diggers and bitches. They're always complaining. But when you then look at how they talk about themselves and about their life, it makes complete sense why they attract these women.
Yeah, totally.
You have to just think about it this way. If you, let's say if you really love yourself as a man and you would be on a date with a woman and you have the feeling that this woman hates men and she doesn't like herself, she's very insecure, would you want to date her?
Hope
most
not.
Most likely not. Yeah. And the same is true for women. If a woman sees a guy on a date and he's very insecure, he doesn't like himself, and women have a sixth sense for that, they know that. If you come from a place of confidence or trauma, and then you don't have to wonder why you don't attract emotionally healthy, high quality women. That's why this is such a dangerous vicious cycle. When guys always say, oh, women are like this, they're all terrible, all gold diggers. If that's their reality, then they attract this reality again.
Yeah, that's exactly what they get. I definitely went through that period. Dated some strippers and some other interesting girls that didn't like themselves either.
That's good. Some other interesting girls. I mean, yeah, for me was, for example, an eye-opener. I also fell into this trap in the beginning where I thought, hey, I'm only the cool pickup guy when I can date some hot club girl, basically. A girl who's always clubbing. Yeah. And then me as an introvert who doesn't drink, I attracted these girls. And I thought to myself after 1 week, get me out of here. So, yeah.
Yeah, speaking about lifestyle, I know you're a digital nomad now, right? And how did you obviously kind of get out of Germany, or what made you want to do that? And what made you want to kind of become this global seducer versus just stay locally? Was it just that Germany was a tough place to operate in?
The German seducer.
The German seducer.
I mean, I always, the funny thing is I never really felt at home in Germany. I always wanted to get out. I don't know why. Don't really know why. Maybe it's like Eckhart Tolle once said, it's the energy there, but I just don't like it that much. And I always had this dream of like traveling the world, having a business that allows me to do that. And I basically did it in the same way as I also approached dating. I did it with baby steps. I still remember, God, with my first website, I also dating website that miserably failed with my first website, I translated every article I had from German with Google Translate to English. That's how dedicated I was, because back then my English sucked and I was really like, okay, every word like translate. And that's how I basically started it on my job. And then I had different jobs also abroad. I was working in Asia then, I was working in Europe in all kinds of different positions, and I was always doing it part-time. Mm-hmm. And then at some point my income from several online businesses were so high, or let's say were higher than my job actually, and I said to myself, okay, I mean, now or never. Now you can do it, now you can jump, as Steve Harvey always likes to say it, you have to jump at some point. And yeah, that's why I did then, and I don't regret it at all. And the beauty of that is really that I can live wherever I want. I can date the women I want to date. I'm no longer bound to a location. And that's also something that when you are a guy and you want to live an amazing lifestyle and you want to date beautiful women, if you're, for example, let's take Germany as an example. If you live in a very small town in Germany, and I come from a very small city, and there are just not that many beautiful women that you could approach or that you could meet. I still remember when I actually went to a next bigger city than my town with the train every day to approach women. And even there, I still remember one of the girls I approached three times, and the third time they said like, don't you have anything better to do? And usually the women I approached were like most of the time Eastern European, because they're the most feminine, the most dressed up, and just the most beautiful, at least in my eyes. And I know exactly a lot of guys have this limiting mindset that for some reason they believe they have to find someone in their city where they are born. They have to stay there. They don't they don't have to move. And especially actually a lot of Americans have never lived abroad, have never traveled abroad. I have so many American coaching clients who've never done that.
Yeah.
I think it's even more popular than in Europe. It's more common than in Europe that people don't travel abroad.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I a lot of my coaching clients, you know, I say the biggest thing that's holding them back is the fact that they're living in these cities that, you know, it's either a horrible female to male ratio. There's just no women to approach. I've got one guy who has to go to Walmart to find women to approach. And of course, it takes a couple hours before he sees one worth approaching.
People in Walmart or people at Walmart. That's called memes.
So which isn't, you know, I don't think that just by moving out of, you know, somewhere, like obviously if you're moving to hack the fact that you're horrible with women, like that doesn't work either. But, you know, if you're in a horrible dating market, it's going to be
tough. You just can't approach. I mean, yeah, I can share one funny example on it. Without revealing the cities right now for privacy reasons, but there are two, like next to my German hometown, they're like two university cities.
Is one called Aachen?
What? No, it's not there.
Okay, because I have two clients from Aachen, and they said it's like 70% dudes, and they can't stand it. They still approach her, but
and that's exactly brutal. what I want to say right now. There's one city. There's one city where all the engineers are. Her stereotype, all the German engineers.
Right. And
that's where I basically practice. Maybe that's why I got so good there, because I never realized it. I never thought about this ratio before, but there were so many dudes there, especially in my age range back then when I was a college student. And it was really hard to meet women, especially because then women have all the choice in the world.
Yep.
Even though most of the engineer guys, they are very nerdy and shy, but still, there's still a lot of choices out there. And
have you ever heard of the San Francisco 49ers?
No.
It's a football team, but it's also, we call the women in San Francisco the 49ers because they're fours who think that they're nines, because there's so many rich Silicon Valley engineers and there's no women. So all the ugly girls think they're the hottest piece of, you know.
that's what Sasha back in the, can I say that? I don't know. Otherwise I get killed from my fellow Germans. But Sasha used to say that. He was like, you know what? Germany is the only country in the world where a five thinks she's a 10.
Yep.
I was always approaching girls in this city where it's really hard. And then this one day I said, okay, I'm going to take a little bit further train ride. And I went to the other city where all the like teaching and language students, like mostly females, basically. I got numbers left and right. And I was just like, whoa, that's insane. And the ratio was not that much, but it makes a huge difference. I mean, I even saw that once in an online dating statistic, and I hope I don't say anything wrong right now, but that in New York City, for example, because there are so many more single women than men, that men are the most desirable when they're in their 50s there.
Yeah, I used to live in New York City, and
there's so many women there.
It was ridiculous. Like you could go on two or three dates a night because every girl wants to go on a date. No one wants to sit in their, you know, overpriced small little shoebox apartment. So of course during COVID it's like the worst place in the world because you're stuck at home. No one wants to be stuck at home in New York. You got to be out and about. But yeah, when I lived in New York, it was just date. So
it makes great. A huge difference. And I, for example, mm-hmm. heard from a lot of clients. I mean, I've never been there, but a lot of clients told me that Los Angeles is the opposite.
Yep. LA sucks. Hard to do. Man,
especially all the celebrities, the rich guys, all these kind of things where every woman then wants
really
to be
good looking. Really good looking dudes trying to become Hollywood actors, like they're really tough to compete against.
So. Yeah, I mean, those things matter. And if you then think about your lifestyle, I always say it like this, go where you're treated best and go where you feel best. And it's like with everything, like register your business there where it's best for you, live where it's best for you, no matter if it's when it comes to your business, when it comes to dating, whatever it might be. The world is your playground, but by always limiting yourself in the sense of like, I have to stay in this small town. And the interesting thing is so many people have this in mind. I mean, I still remember when I moved to Bangkok, for example, from Germany to Bangkok, so many people in Germany were like, oh my God, how can you do that? I would never have the courage to do that. And back then I was already on my journey of getting good with women. So it wasn't for me like this big step. I was more like, okay, I'm going to hop in an airplane and see what happens. But for a lot of people, this idea to hop in an airplane and see what happens is completely out of their mind. Even though back then I just had, I mean, $2,000 or $3,000 saved, not that much. But a lot of people who have way more always limit themselves and say, I could never do that. Oh my God.
Yeah. If you believe you can't, then you cannot. And if you believe you can, you can. And it's true. Yeah. Well, tell me you've been all over. First question about, what do you think is the biggest misconception about dating foreign women that people have?
One of the biggest misconceptions, or let's say two of the biggest misconceptions. The first one is that when they are not good with women, that magically they have all the success with women and that they can get their dream girl. That's a very big misconception. Right. And the other misconception that a lot of guys have, unfortunately, they come at it from an unhealthy place. It's like, oh yeah, when I'm there, I'm the rich foreigner and they will all like me. No, like this. I've dated foreign women in different parts of the world. And I mean, for example, when I was living in Bangkok, I was dating a manager who was earning way more than me. And she was the one who had the car and she was driving me around so much to like, oh, these poor girls or something.
It's annoying when I go back to the US and see my family or whatever, and I tell people that I live in Ukraine and or I have a Ukrainian girlfriend, they're like, oh, she's just after the green card, I bet. I'm like, actually, she doesn't give a shit. She'd prefer to live in Ukraine.
That's also something that a lot of people from Western countries don't get when they've never been there. They think like, oh, all these women want, like, they want your green card or they want to marry you, to live with you in this country. I mean, I've never talked to a Thai woman who said she wants to get out of Thailand, for example.
Right.
If you are a, let's say, middle-class Thai woman, you have a good job, you live in a nice condo in a country where it's always warm, you can always go to the beach, why the heck should you move to Germany? Doesn't make any sense.
Zero sense. I mean, Thailand, why should you, paradise. I mean, obviously,
why should you, for example, let's say, move to some very remote place in the middle of, I don't want to name any states right now, otherwise Americans will kill me, but in some middle of nowhere in the US when you, for example, have a good job in, let's say, for example, your girlfriend in Kiev, for example, wherever she lives in the Ukraine, doesn't make any sense. I mean, are there a certain percentage of women who like very, very poor and who would do that? Yes, of course. But I think it always comes back to you attract who you are. I've never attracted these women. It's like when people, for example, tell me, when you go to Thailand, you will get hit on by bar girls. And I mean, why should you date them? It's when guys tell me, I date a bar girl, I say, would you date a prostitute in your hometown? No, of course not. Why do you do it abroad? Doesn't make any sense. Just do the same things that you would do with a woman in your country. What kind of woman do you want? Do you want an intelligent, independent woman, a woman who has something going in her life, who has a career, who's not dependent on your money? I've dated women in Eastern Europe, in Asia. I've never sponsored them or paid for them in any way, ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually had girls in Thailand who were, let's say, who were telling me, hey, can we pay 50-50?
Yeah.
And so many guys told me like, that's impossible. You can't do that. Of course you can. They are just normal women. Just so many men have this idea in mind, of course, by the media, because the media, I mean, with their agenda, let's say with their very left-wing-ish agenda, always says like, oh, these poor women in these countries, oh my God. It's just not true. There's so many independent, successful women out there, beautiful women. There are amazing women everywhere. And if you have the right mindset, if you have the, again, if you come from a place of self-love, then you will attract the right women into your life.
I agree completely. What are some of your favorite places? Like right now you said you're in Romania, but I think you said you were stuck there, right? Is that one of
your places on the list? Yeah, that was basically, I moved there especially for business reasons. At the beginning of the pandemic, and I thought like, hey, let's just see what's going on, and then whoop, and since then I'm here, since it basically happened. And I mean, yeah, the women here are beautiful. They are, when it comes to Romanian women, they are very much focused on relationships. That's just my personal experience. But I've dated women in Romania, Ukraine, Thailand, Hong Kong, Poland, like, oh God, you name the country. I've been to a lot of different countries.
And what sort of lifestyle and, dating lifestyle do you live? Do you like to be, I mean, you told me on an episode, but I won't spoil it. So you can explain that.
Let's say it like this. At different stages of my life, I wanted different things, and that's also totally okay. That's why, for example, when a lot of guys who are again listening to some Manosphere coaches, they always have this idea in their mind that they need to have multiple women, like they need to spin plates. If you have one girlfriend, oh, that's oneitis and whatever. That's simply not true. If you find a woman, you're happy with her, you're in love with her, it doesn't come from a place of neediness. It doesn't come from a place of, oh, I don't want to be lonely, that's why I have her. But instead, you love her, you enjoy your time with her, she loves you, then be happy in a relationship. But if you at the same, if you at, for example, at some point say, hey, I want to enjoy my life, I want to enjoy my single life, say it like this, my single life, you can also enjoy your life in a relationship, obviously, but I want to enjoy my single life and I want to date multiple women, then do that. One thing that I absolutely love, for example, is to be in a relationship with a bisexual girl. I absolutely love bisexual girls, and I'm a bisexual girls magnet because I have a baby face, and for some reason, I always attract bisexual girls because a lot of them love, like, the, let's say, the face that's some kind of mixture of male and female, which is basically mine. And yeah, I always thought it's a disadvantage, but hey, it turns out to be an advantage. And the reason why I love dating bisexual girls may be very obvious, because you can include a third party in your relationship when she actually wants it. You can, for example, have some rule where you only have sex with each other, but then you can go together to, let's say, erotic massages, or you can include someone just for, let's say, touching, kissing, or however far you want to go, basically. It's totally up to you in a relationship. That's something that I enjoy very much. But I would really say for every guy out there, do what you want to do. Don't let any dating coach tell you you need to have multiple women or you need to find the love of your life, which is often by the media, like only in a monogamous relationship is good. It's if you come again from a place of self-love and you love women, as long as you authentically communicate what you want and you live your life in an authentic way, then it's a win-win because there will always be women out there who want the same thing as you. That's the beauty about it. When you are honest, I mean, for example, when I had this idea first with like, hey, bisexual girl, and then maybe multiple, whatever, I never thought in a million years that a girl would be open to that. There are so many women who want exactly that.
Totally.
And yeah.
My fantasy for a long time was having two girlfriends, at the same time. And at first I was like, oh, that's crazy, can't have it. And then I had almost like 2 years where I had two girlfriend relationships, and it was like, yeah, it was cool, but it's then you realize once you have it, the upsides and the downsides. It's like having one girlfriend is enough problems. Having two is
I just wanted to say that, like, did you actually live with both of them or
Yes.
both together?
We
That's
did.
something. I mean, yeah. I also, let's say it like this. I don't want to reveal too much private details, but I also got that suggestion to maybe do that in the future. And I thought to my, I mean, I got it from her basically. She said, like, hey, I would be open to that, maybe to experiment with it. And I thought to myself, like, whoo, am I ready for that much headache? I don't know.
It's a lot of
It
headache.
sounds like a fantasy, right? And when you then live it, you think to yourself, like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
exactly. You forget about all those other little things that like normal everyday life kind of throw at you. But for sure, if my suggestion for guys is always like, if it's something you want to try, then by all means you should try it, just to kind of say been there, done that, and you don't have to think about it anymore.
Did your friends and family actually know that you had two girlfriends?
Yeah, I think they basically knew. I mean, it wasn't like totally,
Your friends were probably
like,
jealous, I guess, but I think that they were also bisexual then, I guess. Also was some kind of triangle relationship then.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. With one girl, it was like the main girl, and then we had like this other girl, and we were basically like, okay, let's just be a throuple.
A throuple. I've never heard that before. A throuple. Oh, that's
Yeah.
bad for Germans to pronounce. Throuple. It's a lot of
Crazy
TH.
things. Yeah, it's a lot of TH, the thruple. A lot of crazy things come out of a week at Burning Man, I'll tell you that much. Especially if you're
Oh,
the camp
you've already told me.
the name of the camp I was with was called Trifucta, which is a like
What?
trifecta, but trifucta. And guess what? I left Trifucta with a thruple. So wasn't expecting that, but that's kind of what happened. And met that second girlfriend in an orgy in the Trifecta camp. So anyways, if you're looking for those experiences, Burning Man is the place to be.
That always amazes me about the American culture. Like when it comes to the media, you see one nipple, everybody freaks out. But when it comes to that, everyone's like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, I had no idea. I ended up like in that camp were a bunch of other like dating coaches and people in the seduction community. I had no idea. It was just totally random. Like my buddy's like, hey, I have a camp for us. He wasn't any part of the you know, the dating community at all. And we end up at Trifecta. So as you were saying, you know, what you put out in the universe.
Perverted dating coaches in one tent going like, woohoo, you're also here. Yes, I'm also here.
Yep. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And the girls too. There was some really interesting girls in that camp.
I can imagine that, yeah. If I ever visit the United States, then I have to go to Burning Man.
You have to. Yeah, you definitely have to. They're having it this year. So what do you think about right now, kind of during the pandemic, this trend that people have, you know, these online relationships? What do you think about all that?
Ooh, I'm very much against that. Let's say it like this. Women are always looking for attention from men. That's why Instagram and TikTok is so addictive to women.
Yeah.
And what I see happening at the moment, which a lot of my coaching clients told me, is that women basically, especially when they are bored, when they're at home during the pandemic, isolated, they then use those dating apps basically just to waste time. It's basically just having video calls. Oh yeah, it's so nice, yada, yada. But without ever probably meeting them. I mean, there is a small chance, of course, if you really have a connection with a girl and she really makes an effort to get to know you and you plan to meet her, then okay, I mean, by all means, continue it. But as soon as you have the feeling that it's just wasting your time, that she's just doing it for the attention, then don't think that you have a relationship. I would never call anything a relationship with anyone without meeting them in person. That's absolute insanity.
It's nonsense. You should be publicly stoned if you say you're in a relationship with someone you've never fucking seen in person.
like in the life, what is it? The Life of Brian, who throws the first stone? But it's crazy. A lot of guys fall for it. That's a sad thing because they then think, oh, I have a girlfriend. And this is so brutal, especially for insecure men, because mm-hmm. they then think they have a girlfriend. And as soon as the pandemic ends and they're like, let's meet. I date her for 1 year. And she says, I'm busy. Bye. Boom. And then, of
course, I see that so often.
Terrible.
These poor, miserable schmucks from a lot of the time from these kind of these shitty places in middle America, they'll start chatting with like Eastern European girls on different dating sites, and they'll think they're talking to this specific girl, but they're not. They're talking to a girl who's responding for like 30 different girls through email. So if you're ever on Tinder and you're trying to message with a hot Eastern European girl and she's like, let's switch to email, that's a scam. That's you're talking to one girl who's pretending to be 30. That girl might exist. What's that?
It's Igor or Boris.
Yeah. Well, I had an ex-girlfriend who used to actually respond, and that was her job, was to go into like a center, and she was online dating like 30 guys at the same time. You know, obviously she looked different than the girls in the photos, but you know, these poor guys thought they had a girlfriend, but no, they had nothing.
But it's of course it's also sad at some point, but it's also so naive when you think about it. That's why when I meet someone on Tinder, for example, the first thing I do after a couple of chats is, hey, let's go to WhatsApp, have a video call. That's it.
Yeah.
That you meet them actually. And I mean, if we want to talk about the dating situation right now, then the one thing that I, for example, don't understand, would be amazing to hear your opinion on it. I would never understand in a million years how any guy could pay for an OnlyFans account. I just do not get it. It's beyond me. I don't get it.
Pay for one of the girls who's, you know, who has an OnlyFans account and shows herself naked, all that shit.
Sorry?
You mean like, in terms of you don't get how a guy would subscribe to a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
OnlyFans.
Exactly. I don't understand it. And I think a lot of guys.
I know a ton of girls who use OnlyFans and they do that, so they make money around here.
I also know girls who do OnlyFans, and some of them make a lot of money. And I always think to myself, why?
these guys are so pathetic that, you know, the girls do a really good job of making those guys feel like they have this personal connection, right? They maybe send a message or two and they're like, hey, honey, or hey, babe, like sign up to my account. I want you to see my photos and stuff, right? The girls are very good at that. And so the guys think like, oh, maybe if I sign up for her OnlyFans, well, there's a chance I could be in a relationship with her. And they've got no other prospects and she's the only girl they're talking to. So they're like, yeah, whatever, it's 10 bucks a month or, you know, $7 a month, no big deal. And then pretty soon that girl's making 5, 10, 15 grand a month from all these dudes who are spending way too much time either jerking off to porn or, you know, thinking they have a chance with an OnlyFans girl. It's like, give me a break. It's so bad.
I mean, I truly believe that if, let's say, if anyone listening right now and supporting some girls on OnlyFans or doing that kind of stuff, then it's really time to work on yourself and to have a look at your life and say, okay, why am I doing this? And how can I actually attract beautiful women in real life without paying for it, without paying for an OnlyFans account, without falling into this? It's like the OnlyFans thing is the same thing with Instagram. Those comments like, hey, beautiful, I would marry you. Like, that's also something which I will never understand in my whole life. But I think even when I was the most insecure guy ever, I would have never done that.
It's incredible how low people stoop. It's always baffling to me too. And speaking of that, what do you think is the first step for someone? Let's say someone's listening and probably not. I don't think those people listen to my podcast, but let's say someone is. And sorry, we caught you. We've exposed or maybe not someone that bad, but someone who feels like they've never had success with women. Like, what's the first step that they should take?
The first step I would say is really take a very honest look at your life and finally take responsibility for your life, because it's so easy to continue to be trapped in this victim mentality. You know, back then I was the perfect victim. I always said, I can't go to the lake because of my scar. I can't talk to women because they think I'm ugly. I can't go to this party because, oh my God, what if somebody would see me? Like all these kind of things. Take a very close look at your life and say, okay, what are the areas that I want to improve in? And I'm pretty sure if they are listening to this episode here, they want to improve their dating life. So if you want to improve their dating life, if you want to improve your dating life, say honestly, what steps do I have to take? Not what wishful thinking, not what magic pill might be out there. Yeah, that's correct. like not these kind of things, but just say, okay, what do I really have to do? And that might be moving away from your small hometown to a place where you can actually have success with women. Because if I would still approach women in my small hometown, there are no women there. I would have probably approached any woman in my age bracket by now 10 times. So it's like, design your lifestyle in a way. And I know that sounds a little bit like wishful thinking, but I truly believe that if you visualize what you want, you can achieve that. If you have a clear goal in mind, or as Arnold Schwarzenegger always said, you need to have a vision and follow the vision. If you have that,
I like that,
and you then work towards that. I mean, for example, my goal was to get out of Germany to travel the world, and I've done it. And I said to myself, okay, I need to focus on learning online business. I need to focus on learning to be good with women so that I can actually attract the women that I want to attract. I need to overcome my fears so that I can get out of Germany and then fly to another country, for example. Like all these things were things that I needed to do in my life to basically achieve what I achieved and to now be in a position where I say, hey, I designed my life in the exact same way that I want it. And that doesn't happen overnight, but it's something that you take step by step by step. And I think so many people, I always say, I don't know if it's grammatically correct, but they don't live their life, but they get lived. Somebody else basically lives their life for them. For example, in my very first job in Germany, when this HR guy was like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I thought to myself, if I'm still here, I'm going to jump out of the window.
Because hopefully not here with you.
Yeah, not here with you. That's also good. That would have also been a good idea. But I've seen like all these guys in their 40s and 50s completely miserable, completely done. They had nothing to live for. They never did anything else in their life. They never attracted beautiful women. They never lived their life to the fullest. I mean, back then it was basically a government organization. So it was like really people who were very, very, lived very boring lives in general. I mean, I talked to a lot of them and all they told me was like, yeah, sometimes I go to the next town or something. And I was like, okay. And I knew back then I don't want to live like that. But a lot of people, or let's say a lot of men in this case, end up living like that because they never have a clear vision. They don't know. If you don't know where you want to go, then you won't take the necessary steps to go there. So look at your life and say, what do I have to work on? If, for example, let's say in my case, I mean, I can't change my scars, I have them, but I can change the way I look at them. I can change my confidence. I can change my perception about myself, how women react to it by gaining reference experiences, by seeing how women react to it. Or in your case, when you said you were overweight, you can go to the gym, you can work out, you can eat healthy. You can then step-by-step approach women. Like I said before, at the beginning, I couldn't even ask an old dude for the time. I was so afraid. But I still did it. And at some point, I approached a beautiful woman. And then I continued and continued. And of course, if you, let's say you want to work with me or you want to work with any other dating coach, then of course, this can fast track your results and this can allow you to achieve success faster. But you still need to do something. And when it comes to that, it's important that you, yeah, you don't allow your ego to take over, because your ego always wants you to be comfortable and say, no, it's okay, you can change tomorrow. Come on, watch porn again, watch another season of Game of Thrones. It's okay. But you need to get over that and say, okay, what do I want to achieve? And then take baby steps to get there.
For sure. That's really good advice. And if guys want to find out more about you and work with you, obviously there's your podcast and I'll link to that here, but how else can they do that?
Yeah, the best thing is actually is my podcast. You can find me on iTunes there, or you can also, if you're interested in coaching with me, I offer Skype coaching. Like before the pandemic, I also offered infield coaching. In the future, I will also do that again. But right now, everything is remote, everything via Skype. Then you can go to globalseducer.com/Skype. If you want to find out more about Skype coaching with me, you can also see testimonials on this page from guys who I've worked with. And then you can just send me an email and say hi, and then I reply, and then we can schedule a session.
Awesome. Guys, definitely check out his podcast. Awesome stuff. I really enjoyed being a guest on there and how that interview turned out. So go over there to have a listen. And Sebastian, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. It's been great.
You are welcome. It was a pleasure.
And guys, don't forget, if you go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review, I will send you a fucking Peace Dietz t-shirt. I'm not wearing it now, but you've all seen them. So do that and, you know, tell your mom, tell your dad, maybe not your mom, all that good shit. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.